In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We all have those unique sayings that our children or a child we know invents. Sometimes those few words seem to sum up an era for that particular child. One of my favorites is when one of our boys was about 12 and seemed to be just bursting with knowledge. You would start to say something and he would start jumping up and down while you were speaking, saying, "It's the same thing, only different." You began to anticipate that comment from the look in his eyes before he said it again. I never did really figure out where that came from or what it might mean until recently. In the last couple of months, our gospel lessons have featured Jesus as a prophet many times. The role of the prophet had been defined for centuries by the time of Christ. Everyone in his culture knew what to expect. Israel's relationship with God as the chosen people is based on a series of covenants with the patriarchs. Those covenants established responsibilities for each party with assurances for both God and the people. When the people began to stray from that relationship's promises, God sent a prophet as a messenger to remind them of their promise and to warn them of the consequences of ignoring their duties. Prophets were not policymakers. They delivered messages that God gave them. "I will put my words in his mouth." Most of the time, the people liked what they were doing and were reluctant to return to their agreed-upon role. So prophets were not popular. They were often persecuted and opposed. The last prophets in the Old Testament were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and they lived 400 years before John and Jesus. So for very many generations, the prophetic voice was silent in Israel. During that time gap, the culture in Israel changed. The diaspora period was over, and the exiles returned home. While the land was controlled by other faraway kings, they allowed the Israelites to govern their own affairs within parameters. The local rulers became the high priest and the priesthood. On a day-to-day basis, Israel was in a practical sense a theocracy. The priests had become very entrenched in their powerful role, with the thought of a Messiah a distant tradition they did not particularly welcome. At the time of the gospel reading today, Jerusalem was a grand city, one of the great cities in the world. It was also the center of Jewish life. Herod had rebuilt the city, enlarging it while making it a centerpiece of the ancient world. Part of this process had been the rebuilding of the temple, making it much larger and grander than before, with an outside wall coated with gold. The Jewish faithful were expected to worship in the temple in Jerusalem on a regular basis. During the time of Jesus, over 1 million pilgrims journeyed to Jerusalem at Passover every year. Therefore, Jesus would have the maximum exposure to the Jewish faithful when he went to Jerusalem. Jesus steps on this stage and begins his ministry. He enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday as a prophet from Nazareth. It is a grand entry with the streets lined with celebrations to welcome him. But note how Jesus does things. The next mention of Jesus is when he goes to the temple. He does not march into the temple courtyard and tell them the Lord sent him to tell them to change their ways. No. Jesus marched in and threw the money changers out. He saw a problem and immediately took action. He literally drew a line in the sand, declaring the current traditions in that part of the temple were wrong. The temple is for prayer, not for business. During the day, Jesus went to the courts and the temple and taught. At night, he left the city. Teaching was not a usual role for a prophet. But he did not just teach the traditional things people already knew. He interpreted the traditions and taught things no one had heard of before. The Ten Commandments became two. Jesus taught the law is not the main thing. The spirit of the law is the main thing. When someone asks Jesus a question, he answers with authority, using phrases like, "Moses said that, but I tell you this." This man was not the same kind of prophet the people were used to. Jesus does not defer the future to God. He explains a clear view of the future and his role in it. He performs miracles. Note in our passage today, Jesus tells the Pharisees he's not afraid of the old fox Herod. He will be busy doing his job of healing over the next couple of days. Then he will return at the appointed time for the events he knows will come to pass. This is a statement of power. He's not asking or advising. He is telling with assurance, knowing that his words will come to pass. This prophet is not afraid to tell the Jewish powerful parties and the Sadducees and the Pharisees what is wrong with their message, and he asks questions they could not answer. One of the most alarming issues for all of the authorities is that the people were flocking to hear this prophet. His message is of hope, forgiveness, and love. Huge numbers of people were following him all over the countryside and now here in Jerusalem. And there were no bargains available to join forces. This prophet insists his message is the only way to get to the Father in heaven. This prophet is changing the rules. Jesus is very aware of the political situation in Jerusalem. For crimes of faith, one had to be brought before the courts in Jerusalem to be tried and then to be executed there. He is mourning the misdirected power of the priestly system in Jerusalem that will ultimately judge and crucify him. He mourns for the city that he would save. He wants to protect it like a hen protects her small chicks, physically hovering over it, holding them close. At the pinnacle of the city sits a temple built by a foreigner for his own glory, occupied by a priesthood who's lost its way. Fed up with the reality of it all, Jesus says, "I leave that temple building to you." The irony is that the priestly elite will destroy the true temple of God, his son Jesus. The resurrection that follows clarifies the true way to God. It shows without a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. In a very short time, the temple building is destroyed again, this time to never be rebuilt. So indeed, this prophet is the same thing, only different. He is sent by God to redeem his people, this time by offering love and forgiveness. We have only to accept him and nestle in under his wings to know the shelter and security he offers. Amen.